From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. And on this day, Maine's state Medicaid program is huge and opaque. Now Governor Janet Mills is ordering an audit to figure out exactly how Medicaid funds are being spent in Maine and whether they're being used well. That's ahead in a moment. Maine Governor Janet Mills has ordered a full audit of the state Medicaid program. The review will look into everything from where money's being spent to whether particular programs are effective. Mel Leary has the story.
About a third of all state spending goes through the Medicaid program. It may get close to $3 billion in the current budget year. Governor Mills says she wants a thorough study of where the money is going and if it is being spent effectively.
When you read the reports that showed a surplus in Medicaid of $37 million approximately last July, you got to wonder, well, where was that money supposed to go? If it was for very needy people, elderly in nursing homes and the like, why did it not go there?
Mills says her new commissioner of DHHS, Jean Lambrew, is a national expert on Medicaid and on health reform and will drill down in the Medicaid budget in search of answers to those questions. The federal government provides more than 60% of the state's Medicaid costs, and state taxpayers pay the rest. Mills says those hundreds of millions of dollars must be spent wisely.
My priorities are to make sure that the people of Maine are served and served well and efficiently in a cost-effective manner, that the money that taxpayers cough up to fund these programs are well spent.
The audit has drawn broad bipartisan support. Democratic Representative Drew Gattine of Westbrook has served on the Health and Human Services Committee and is co-chair of the Appropriations Committee. He says there's been a lack of transparency in the Medicaid program for years.
And the more we can do to try to understand how that money is being spent and whether it's being spent as effectively as possible is going to be critical for us moving forward as we try to meet a lot of the unmet needs within DHHS.
Gattine says that currently there are scores of programs under Medicaid that are all funded under a single budget entry. Republicans in Augusta also support the audit.
It is something that ought to be done.
GOP State Senator Jim Hamper of Oxford serves on the Appropriations Committee and served as co-chair during the last session.
As far as are there problems there, there's problems in any government program, my goodness. And that includes DHHS. It's a large department. And yes, we need to look at it.
Hamper says while he is hopeful that the audit will provide more information about the Medicaid budget and program effectiveness, he says that sort of detailed information will likely not be available to the committee as it sets out to craft a budget this year. Gattine is more optimistic that the review will help inform the panel and its work. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Dozens of people involved with the state's burgeoning hemp industry filled the State House today to protest a state order directing retailers to remove edible products containing cannabis oil, or CBD, from their shelves. The order follows an announcement in December by the Federal Food and Drug Administration that CBD is not an approved food additive. The FDA's ruling has prompted Maine and other states to halt retail sales of increasingly popular CBD-infused drinks and foods. But supporters of Maine's hemp industry say edible CBD is a major part of their business, and they hope a new emergency bill will allow the products to continue to be sold. Steve Missler has more.
When Congress overwhelmingly approved an $867 billion farm bill in December, it was billed as a major boon to the nation's hemp industry.
The House just passing the farm bill here in the United States, sending it to President Trump's desk to sign it into law. That could be a huge win for producers of hemp-based products.
It was viewed as a win because the farm bill legalized the production of hemp, a form of cannabis with lower THC levels than marijuana. CBD, a derivative of hemp, was considered a big business opportunity for hemp producers and retailers because it allowed people to smoke, vape, or ingest it and obtain the purported health benefits of cannabis without the mind-altering effects of marijuana. And that's why CBD began showing up everywhere, from gas stations to big-name retailers like Whole Foods, as purveyors angled for their slice of a hemp market that analysts have pegged as a $22 billion industry by 2022. But a foggy legal landscape has Maine and other states wrestling with how to capitalize on the CBD market. The dozens of people who showed up at the State House were protesting the state's recent decision to tell retailers they can no longer sell edible CBD because the Federal Food and Drug Administration has not approved it as a food additive. Smoked, vaped, or lotion-based CBD is still allowed, as are edible sales to medical marijuana patients. But edible CBD is an exploding enterprise, popular in California juice and coffee bars, and increasingly a big part of Maine's hemp industry.
This is as much as 40% of the market, you know, so it could be a drastic rule change here in the state of Maine.
King Bishop grows medical marijuana on his farm in Morrill, but he also got into the hemp business after Maine passed a law 3 years ago that legalized cultivation. Bishop says the state directive on edible CBD comes at a time when businesses like his are just getting off the ground.
I process hemp, so I'm one of the processors that works with farmers to turn the hemp into oil. And so, you know, we're just getting geared up here in the state of Maine with a good hemp program, and this just throws a wrench in the works.
And Bishop isn't convinced that the move to pull edible CBD is necessary or even legal.
It's not even a law yet, so these are basically bureaucrats, unelected officials here in the state of Maine, making decisions that they don't have the authority to do.
In a press statement, a spokeswoman for Governor Janet Mills said the state directive was an attempt to navigate the unclear regulatory landscape of CBD, and that it was done after consulting with the Office of Attorney General, which represents the state in legal affairs. And Maine isn't the only state to take edible CBD off retailers' shelves. California did it last summer, and others have followed suit. Joel Saltalamacchia, a hemp farmer from Unity who participated in Tuesday's demonstration, says the legal tension centers on how regulators should classify CBD.
I think there's just a question, is it a food or is it a pharma? What is it? And the answer to that right now is yes. It really, that's what it is. There is no definitive answer yet as to what it is. Not enough research yet.
Saltalamacchia says people in the hemp industry understand that products like CBD need to be regulated and the purported health effects tested. But he says the fledgling industry needs clarification, and quickly.
We know we need a solution and we need it fast because we're starting a $500,000 farm this year. We're pulling dairy farms that were going under. We're picking them back up. We're going to grow hemp.
A resolution at the federal level could take time. Meanwhile, the Mills administration says it's moving quickly to do what it can to make sure the hemp industry can continue to grow. A Mills spokeswoman says the governor is working with Democratic Representative Craig Hickman on an emergency bill that would allow all CBD products to be marketed and sold in Maine, although not across state lines.
We are working to fix this problem as expeditiously and responsibly as possible.
Hickman says a public hearing on his bill will take place later this month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A consortium of Atlantic States fisheries managers calling for broad changes to the gear that lobstermen use in an effort to reduce risks posed to the endangered North Atlantic right whale and to ward off potential federal action that could be even more challenging to the industry. Fred Bever has more.
There are roughly 410 North Atlantic right whales left in the world, and they are at risk of potentially fatal entanglements with vertical rope lines that lobstermen and other marine harvesters use to position and haul their traps. At a meeting of the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission in Virginia, its lobster board voted unanimously to set in motion the process that could lead to major changes in the East Coast's lobster industry.
I frankly, with due respect to my friends at NOAA, don't want NOAA making decisions on what this lobster fishery should look like in the future.
Patrick Kelleher is commissioner of the Department of Marine Resources for Maine, home to the country's dominant lobster fishery, which landed some 110 million pounds of lobster in 2017, worth more than $450 million at the dock. Kelleher says that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is developing a biological opinion that could include a formal jeopardy finding for the right whales. Under the Federal Endangered Species Act, that could lead to severe restrictions on the state's harvest.
And our role as a board should be, how can we as a board and as a management body and as individual jurisdictions reduce risk to the right whale?
And David Borden, a Rhode Island industry representative to the board, emphasized the importance of trying to forestall federal action.
If we want to control our own future on this, I would point out we have to get ahead of the issue instead of responding to the issue. And that carries a lot of uncertainty.
The board approved for further development, public comment, and eventual final enactment a slate of potential actions aimed at reducing vertical rope by 20% to 40% in most fishing areas. Those could include limits on the number of traps lobstermen are allowed to place in the water, changes in gear configuration, and even seasonal closures. Conservationists commended the board for being proactive, but also called for more.
This is a time for bold action, not conservative action.
Jane Davenport of Defenders of Wildlife called for a range of rope reductions of up to 50%. She says that whatever the federal government finds, the best available science already shows that female right whales stand a 95% chance of harmful entanglements during their fertile years.
Entanglements are already causing jeopardy to the North Atlantic right whale in terms of both lethal and the sublethal effects of affecting reproduction.
Patrice McCarran, executive director of the Maine Lobstermen's Association, told the board her members are skeptical that they are as responsible for the whale's fate as conservationists say. But, she added,
we do acknowledge that we play a role and our fishery needs to change. This biological opinion is scary. And when I think about the courts deciding things or the service deciding things, I know that they don't understand the fishery and they don't adequately understand how these actions might affect our livelihood.
Several environmental groups are suing the federal government to take swift action to protect the right whales, and a federal regulatory board could initiate action on its own this spring. But DMR Commissioner Kelleher says it will be at least 2020 before any of the regulatory actions, state or federal, become effective at sea. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Finally today, you can buy a lot of things from vending machines in Maine. Chips, candy, soda, but not medicine. A proposal before the legislature would allow vending machine sales of over-the-counter drugs, including emergency contraception. Patty White has more.
The bill's sponsor, Democratic Representative Maureen Terry, says over-the-counter medical vending machines are becoming more common in airports, train stations, and college campuses in other states. And she wants Mainers to have easier access to non-prescription drugs as well.
Allowing over-the-counter drugs to be sold in vending machines would allow for students, people who work long hours, and residents of rural areas to have access to medicine wherever and whenever they needed it.
Emergency contraception is one of the drugs that could be sold in vending machines if the bill passes. That prospect drew opposition from religious groups, such as the Christian Civic League of Maine and the state chapter of Concerned Women for America. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.